involved in church, which it is, because we need fellowship of like-minded believers. But I went on this journey of, am I on?
I think you're muted.
Can you hear me anyway?
Yeah. Is it green?
It's green now. Is that better? So anyway, I got involved in church, and church became my life. Loved people. Loved the people that came to church. So my wife and I, we got involved in youth ministry. We got involved in Sunday school. We did Bible studies. We hosted Dave Ramsey seminars. We taught parenting classes. We went to marriage seminars. If the church doors were open, we were there. And this was a growth time for me. But there was something missing. And later, I learned, not just learned, but I experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that changed everything. But along my journey, God brought me to Elko, Nevada. We left what I thought was the promised land, Big Timber, Montana, mountains and trees and rivers and not very many people. And he brought me to Elko, Nevada, to the desert, the wilderness, where everything is legal, cheap, accessible. So I was leaving a church family. I was leaving a country that I loved to take a job in the desert to support my family. And I thought that it was all about that, supporting my family. But God had other plans, and his plan for me was revelation of the scriptures. He wanted to draw me in. He wanted to pull me out of dead works, literally dead works. Not that going to church and being involved in church is dead works, but it is if that's what you're serving. If you're serving the works and not Christ, then it's dead, because works get you nothing. It's relationship. It's relationship that gets you everything. And he wanted to teach me that. And so on my journey, instead of by being pulled out of fellowship and church and service, which typically would pull somebody away from their relationship with God, he pulled me in. And he pulled me into his word. Typically, when I preach or teach or talk to people, I always talk about the Bereans. And those that were here last time, remember that I said, be Bereans. The word says that the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received Paul's message with great eagerness. And they searched the scriptures daily to see if what Paul said was true. So why? Paul was a great teacher. He probably knew the Old Testament, which that's all they had back then, was the Old Testament. He probably knew that more than anyone else. So here's this great teacher. And the Bereans were loving what he was bringing. But they searched the scriptures daily to see what he said was true. Well, Paul was bringing a new message. So we're at a disadvantage because we're not Jews. We weren't raised with the Old Testament, loving it, learning it, having it ingrained in us. It was very important to the Jewish people, And they made sure that their kids knew it. I mean, we even see it when Jesus is calling the 12 disciples. This is the one that Moses was talking about, right? So Paul was bringing this message that Jesus is the Christ, which Jesus is the Christ is actually the good news. It's hard for us to understand what that means because, especially here in America, where we're free, we don't have. Well, I got to be careful how I talk about government, but we don't have a king. We don't understand monarchy rule. There's a lot of things that the Jews understood that we can't, or it's difficult for us. So Paul's bringing this message that Jesus is the Christ. And they're searching the Old Testament, prophecies about the coming Christ, and they're accepting Paul's message. So the Bereans obviously had scripture, had the Bible. Wasn't like this. It was probably kept in the synagogues on scrolls, probably had a special room for it. But it was important to them. And they were in God's word regularly. And that's what I want to talk about today, reading God's word. So this is not about duty and obligation or guilt and shame or trying to motivate people to be reading their word, because that's behavior modification. Behavior modification is unproductive and it won't last. What I want to do is I want to promote a love for God's word. And that comes through a transformation of heart. A couple of questions to think about. Is it easy or challenging to be in God's word? I know we can get caught up in the things we do. Life is busy, kids, jobs, supporting our families. But how about when we don't understand what we're reading? Or do we pick it up at bedtime and then nod off when we start to read? Or sometimes, like for me, it used to be that I could pick up God's word and I would nod off in the middle of the afternoon. And I used to find it very, very challenging to pick up God's word. And I used to think of it as a discipline, as a habit. And that's what I was taught in church, that you have to create a habit of being in your word. And I would find that I was good at it for a while, and then I would skip a day for whatever reason, had something early in the morning or whatever, and then I just blew it. But I also found that there were challenging things in God's word. Hard to understand. Things that sometimes seem to contradict with the teaching I was receiving. That made it hard to get in God's word too. I love to read, but there's a lot of books that I don't just pick up and read because they're not interesting to me. And if God's word is not interesting, it will be the same thing. What makes it easier or harder to be in God's word? For some, It's a daily devotional. Habits. Some it's a reading plan. And some like fellowship with others. So Bible studies work great. One of the things that I found was that being in church, being around like-minded believers, talking about what God's doing, what God's teaching others, that was often a motivator for me to be in God's Word throughout the week. Sometimes it was listening to worship music and hearing scripture in the verses that I had heard in church. So what motivates you to read God's Word? Is it duty and obligation? Because that's what good Christians do. I mean, for some of us, that was me a lot, right? We pray because that's what Christians do. We read our Word because that's what Christians do. We share what we think is the gospel because that's what Christians do. That's duty and obligation. And duty and obligation also produces zero fruit. Sometimes it's guilt and shame. I remember being a new Christian and being in conversations with other believers who had been believers much longer than myself, and finding myself lost in the conversations, and I couldn't even agree or disagree with what they were saying. Guilt and shame is also not a good motivator. And then there's love and devotion. Enjoying God's Word through relationship and understanding. This is where God wanted to bring me with His Word. He wanted me to love being in His Word. He wanted me to feel like I just couldn't put it down. And He has brought me to that place. There are so many things that He has taught me through the years since my journey of coming to the wilderness. So the Word of God is living and active. We hear that a million times, but what does it mean? Living and active. So with our eyes, in the flesh, we see this as a book. Or if we're more Sunday school-like, it's a collection of books, 66 books. Words written on pages between two covers. But it is so much more than that. That's what the flesh sees. This, or your Bible on your phone or whatever, it's actually God. This is actually God. And so when my mom taught me to honor God's Word, the Bible, she didn't know what she was doing, but it's true. This is God, and we honor God. This is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. John 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word." So in the beginning, in John 1, is before in the beginning in Genesis. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. This is the Word of God. This is the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So, having said all that, I want to look at how we actually read our Bibles. Inspiration, translation, interpretation, and revelation. So the Bible, physically, is a massive document. It was written by more than 40 authors over a period of 1,800 years. It was written by Jewish people for Jewish people, at least originally it was written for Jewish people. It's for all of us. Yet the reason for misunderstanding or having a hard time understanding God's word is not culture, the writers, the period of time it was written. What I believe the problem is with understanding scripture is how we read it. So inspiration is how we got God's word. It was inspired by God through the Holy Spirit, written down by men. God's word came directly from him. 2 Timothy says, all scripture is God-breathed. 2 Peter, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things, for prophecy never had its origin in the human will. But prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. The word of God came directly from him to man. It was his pursuit of us is why we have the Bible written down. What he had in the garden, walking in fellowship with Adam and Eve, is what he wants for us today. We have his word. We have like-minded believers, fellowship. He still wants to communicate to us today. Translation. Translation is simply changing from one language to another without changing the meaning. Without changing the meaning. It's how we're able to read God's word in our own language. There are a lot of different versions of the Bible, and I think that each of us needs to do our own research on the different versions of the Bible to find something that is easiest for you to read. Now, there are some that are I don't necessarily agree with. I think that the best way to approach it is find the most literal translation that is the easiest to understand, so you don't have man's opinion changing what God's trying to communicate. Interpretation and revelation are two very different things, and they're often confused. So I've heard it said countless times that there are a million ways to interpret scripture, or everyone interprets scripture differently. And this is true. It is true because interpretation is of man. Interpretation relies on our current mood, the emotions, what we're going through in life at the time. Interpretation is what we see or what we think the message is based on what we've been taught or what we experience. Interpretation says, what does this mean to me at this very point in my life? That's why sometimes it looks like, to non-believers especially, but it looks like a set of rules, do's and don'ts, laws. It's behavior modification to a lot of people. God's word is supposed to be the filter for how we view life, how we experience life. Interpretation of the scriptures happens when we read the Bible with our natural eyes and not our spiritual eyes. And we filter God's word through our life experiences. So the word is supposed to be the filter, but we get it backwards and we filter God's word through our life. Or sometimes it's to justify how we live. Right? We can justify our behavior. We can make this word say anything that we want it to say. There's 66 books in here. We can pull out a scripture out of context, and we can turn it into just about whatever we want. But Revelation, on the other hand, makes no assumptions. Revelation is the reality of what is being communicated to the intended person without error. Revelation is God speaking through his word to us individually. Revelation is of the Spirit. And revelation of the scriptures comes from God. Revelation of the scriptures will be consistent with God's word. It doesn't change. It doesn't contradict itself. God wants his word to be revealed. Even Paul, with all his education, with all his training, growing up in the church, with all of his background, gives zero credit to man for what he preached to the churches. Galatians 1, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preached is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. When God was pleased to reveal his son to me, my immediate response was not to consult any human being. So when Paul got saved, Paul knew that man's teaching was not right. What he'd been taught his whole life was from man. He knew it. He experienced God. The power of the Holy Spirit knocked him off his donkey. And he moved in that direction, closer to God. He didn't go back to church. Again, not that church is bad, but he moved closer to God. He spent 3 years in the wilderness with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit. He was discipled just like the 12. The disciples were taught by Jesus how to be taught by God. He even taught them how to pray for it on earth as it is in heaven. And how is it in heaven? It's fellowship with God. It's us communicating daily with who we were just singing about, with God. We can have that here on earth. I don't believe you need to be a historian or read Hebrew and Greek or go to seminary to be able to understand God's word. But I do believe you need to be a seeker of God. The 12 were arrested for preaching God's word, and the Sanhedrin, saw their wisdom, and they were in awe at what they knew of God's word, but they recognized them as ordinary, uneducated men. They were fishermen. They were tax collectors. They were laborers. They were whatever. They were ordinary, uneducated men. So they'd probably gone to some sort of school and didn't make the grade. Maybe they couldn't focus or whatever, but they didn't make the grade. So they went back to be fishermen or whatever their father did for a living. That's what they went to be. But these guys spent time with Jesus. Since the Bible was inspired by God through the Holy Spirit, it's only natural that it should be revealed by God to us through the same Holy Spirit. True seekers, empowered by His Spirit, will understand God's word through His revelation. Without the Holy Spirit, we only get interpretation. Jesus said many times, "He who has ears, let him hear." My paraphrase is, don't miss this message. Jesus said that a lot. Don't miss what I'm trying to tell you. The disciples asked Jesus, "Lord, why do you speak to the people in parables?" Again, I'll paraphrase this to make it a little easier, but basically Jesus said, the message is concealed because it's not for everyone. It's only for the true seekers, those who truly want to understand. There were a lot of people in those days that mocked Jesus because his message was contrary to what they were teaching in the synagogues about sin and works and so many things. Jesus was teaching about the heart. Jesus was teaching about relationship. And so Jesus was often questioned about his teaching. In Mark chapter 4, he did not say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his disciples, he explained everything. I believe that just as the parables have a concealed message, that this whole collection of scriptures has a concealed message. Because God doesn't change. God doesn't change. And his message is for the true seekers. Doesn't matter if it's in the Old Testament or the New Testament, God's message doesn't change. His character doesn't change. Nothing about God changes. His message is concealed. But he will reveal it to us. In Luke 24, 45, it says, "Then he opened their minds." He opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. So this is actually the last thing Jesus did before he ascended. The last thing. He opened their minds so they could understand scriptures. Now, whether it's 12 or 120 or 500, I don't know how many that was there when this happened. All I know is that these are the people that followed Jesus for 3 years. They walked with him. They talked with him. They asked him questions. He taught them everything that they needed to know. This was the last thing Jesus did before he ascended to heaven. If they needed their minds to be opened so that they could understand scripture, how much more do I? And this was something that on my journey, on my commuting back and forth from Montana to Nevada, that I learned was when God showed me something, to pray into it. And this is one of those passages where when I read that, I was like, oh my gosh, these people lived with Jesus day and night. They walked with Jesus. They knew him, yet they still needed their minds to be opened. Anyway, I didn't just pray into that once. I continually pray into that, like many things that I've learned. For example, I pray often like Paul, that whenever I open my mouth, words would be given. Because if it's me speaking, it's not going to produce fruit. It's going to fail. But if it's him speaking through me, through the power of his Holy Spirit that's in me, there will be fruit. People get saved. Demons will flee. The sick will be healed. It's kingdom on earth. So what do we do with this? How do we approach Bible time? Well, I don't want to sound like an old cliche, but it truly does begin with prayer. It begins with not duty and obligation, but it begins with that relationship, talking to God, admitting that we're human, praying for a transformation of the heart, praying that our minds would be opened, that we could understand Scripture. Paul prayed for the spirit of wisdom and revelation to know him more. And that's what I pray for, wisdom and revelation to know him more. Because the more we know him, the more we will love him, the more he will change us from the inside out. Then open God's word. Pray about what you've read. Spend some time meditating on it. I know for years that I would just read God's word. Okay, there's my 2 chapters today, 15 minutes, I'm done. Go on with the day. And I don't remember what I read. Or go to church on Sunday and I listen and the pastor delivers a great message. And I walk out the door and I can't remember what he said. We're to take some time to meditate on God's word. In fact, it says meditate on his word day and night. So does meditate on God's word day and night just mean this? Or how about God himself? I mean, he's the word. I would also encourage you to get with other like-minded believers and talk about what God's teaching you. I always encourage people to find a mentor, someone who has been walking with Jesus longer than ourselves, because they can bring wisdom and insight into what we're reading, and maybe God has shown them things that he hasn't yet shown us. The Bible is not meant to just be read. It's meant to be experienced through relationship with him, and he will bring revelation. The word is living and active. And so, in closing, again, be Bereans. Be Bereans. And don't just take my word for what I share. Read it for yourself. I know Seth asked me if I had some scriptures to put up there. But that's challenging for me to think that far ahead, because because what I thought I was going to preach on earlier in the week didn't really come together until last night, and I just want to be obedient to God. And in fact, much of what I shared here today was actually something that I had not planned to share. So that's the power of God and the Holy Spirit. So I guess one last song. If anybody would like to pray, come to the altar or whatever. Now's the time. If you'd like me to pray with you, I'll be back there.